Thank you so much, Sister Mindy. There is a blood that saves us from all our sins. Man, if you can't preach after that song, as a preacher used to say, your wood's wet. I'm telling you. Yeah, it was good. Thank you, Sister Mindy, for your beautiful voice that you used to serve the Lord. And I know that the Lord will continue to bless you and Brother Joe, and because I know that you're going to seek out a new church to serve there and use your talents there. We're going to miss y'all immensely. It also takes strength that comes from the Lord to do that without crying, too. I was trying not to cry, so to be strong for Mindy, you know, and I was like, yep, man, that's great. Great. You get back in there. That's okay. You can let it go now. So, no, let me tell you, this blood, let me tell you, that's our whole goal as a church, to tell people that He's alive. He can save us from our sins. He knows our hurt. He knows our pain, but He can dry every tear that we've got. And you know what the glorious part of Jesus being alive today and that He can save us from our sins is that one day He's coming back for us. Brother Michael, will you show that picture I've got right before with the scripture? I saw this on Facebook this week, and it really went right along with our message this morning I'm going to talk about. It says, there is a battle going on. Keep your eyes open and your sword sharp. Let me tell you, as a child of God, as a member of Eldorado Missionary Baptist Church, or if you're visiting with us this morning from the Baptist church that you're a member of, let me tell you, you need to be on fire for God. You don't need to be a half-hearted servant. You need to make sure that your eyes are open to the world around you and that your sword, your Word of God, is sharp within your heart. Because there's a battle going on, and if you're not ready, you're going to lose the fight. Now I'm going to take a little divergence away from our series this morning. I'm going to preach on something different. So we're not going to be in the book of Acts this morning. So all of you here in the book of Acts, guess what? We ain't going there this morning. If you would, please turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Please stand for the reading of God's Word if you're able to stand this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, begin reading in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take in the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this day. We thank You most of all for Jesus, through His blood that He shed for us, that He's alive today, and because He shed His blood for us, and He's alive today, that we have eternal salvation through You, Lord. And Lord, that we have the promise that because of that sacrifice that He gave, that we, when we die, if we believe in Him, have received Him as our personal Savior, will go and be with You forever and ever, and that one day He is coming back again. Lord, we pray that You would bless the reading of Your Word. May we be able to stand firm upon Your Word today and be ready to stand against the enemy because of what You've told us in Your Word and how to do it. Lord, help us as we strive to worship You continually in this part of our service. Help me to preach what You've laid on my heart, and may Your Holy Spirit have free reign. And if there's one this morning especially, Lord, that is lost and knows that they're lost and need to be saved, that today they will be saved because they've accepted you as their personal Savior. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of my sermon this morning is Standing with the Armor of God. Standing with the Armor of God. We are taking a short break from our series, The Acts of the First Church. This is something that I think this topic, the armor of God and standing with the armor of God, will encourage us today if we will heed God's Word. Now, I'm going to talk about some things that's going to sound a little discouraging, but guess what? There's going to be encouragement in the middle of all of it. But only if we heed God's Word. Everyone needs to, as the Bible says, as Paul said here to the Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God. My first point this morning is why we stand with the armor of God. Why we stand with the armor of God. In verse 10, Paul was ending his letter to the members of the church of Ephesus with encouragement while at the same time admonishing them. He said in verse 10, finally, the word finally means in conclusion, my brethren, my brothers and sisters in Christ, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Paul used the phrase, be strong in the Lord. The Greek word for be strong means to be strong. Endue with strength, strengthen. To receive strength, be strengthened, increase in strength. It also gives the idea of being overflowed with strength. Well, if Paul was encouraging them and admonishing them to be of strength and be endued with strength and overflowing with strength, well, where does that strength come from? Some people, when they're weak and when they've been sick and everything, but something happens, they can somehow bear down deep inside them and pick up enough strength to do what they have to do. Well, we know that our strength comes from a great source. And of course, that source is the Lord. So therefore, we must be strong in the Lord. If you try to receive strength from someone else, they're going to fail you. But God has never and does not and will never fail you. Be strong in the Lord. Remember, that is your strength. It's found in the Lord. And then he goes on to say, and the power of His might. That power of His might simply refers to strength again, but is specific to where it is found in the Lord. Power is the ability. I know some strong people who don't use their abilities very much. Right? But he's saying, you be strong, you find that strength in the Lord, and then you find that ability to do it in the Lord as well. In verse 11, Paul commanded the Ephesian church members to put on the whole armor of God. Now, why would they need to put on this armor? Dr. James Crane wrote, the strength of the Lord was not just a vain phrase, but it related to and represented a real force. It was real enough that Paul commanded that they should put it on like a suit of armor. He used a suit of armor for a soldier to teach the actions of putting on the strength of a Lord. As a soldier was vulnerable in the flesh before a superior enemy, the believer without the strength of the Lord is vulnerable before the great enemy, Satan. The Greek word for put on there simply means that you have to put on the armor and no one else. Now, for all of us who have been young enough or have little ones or have had little ones, we know that we have to be taught how to put on our clothes, right? And for so many years, we have to make sure that we put on the clothes of our little ones because they don't know how. But there needs to come a time where they know how to dress themselves, right? Right, because it's not our responsibility anymore to dress them. They're old enough to do such. Well, everyone here this morning that is saved, you have the capability of putting on the whole armor of God. I can't put it on for you. God's not going to put on it for you. Only you can do that. Without the armor of God, the believer cannot stand against the devil. Indeed, generally, man is weaker than the strength of the devil. Why? Because God originally made the devil greater than man. With the armor, however, the strength of the Lord becomes the strength of His servant. Now, for those of you who may be here this morning, that, and I hope that there's none here, but if you have the attitude, well, ha, I can take on that old devil. Well, let me tell you a few things about your enemy, because that's exactly who he is. He's your enemy. He's God's enemy, and he's out to get you today, saved or lost. Satan has been around for a long time. In fact, we see where he existed before Adam and Eve existed. But he's not as old as God is, because God's eternal. But Satan is powerful. As I said before, he will never be as powerful as God or more powerful. Oh, he wants to be, but he's not. He cannot be in the same place at once. God can. He can't. God has all knowledge. Satan's very, very smart, but he's not the smartest one. God is. But he's been as long enough, and he knows exactly how to get to you. He knows how to attack you. And what I love is that Jesus, the very Son of God, he had to have a little help too. You know what he used? He used the Word of God. He said, well, I can use the Word of God. Oh, can you? Oh, can you? Well, you need more than a sword to go ahead and fight the enemy. Okay? That's great. Let me tell you, going into battle, having no weapon, no shielding of any kind, is stupid. No advancing military in the world is going to arm their soldiers with nothing. They're not going to put on stuff that's not going to protect them from the enemy. Why? Because it would be a pointless battle. You'd be wiped out immediately. So don't be ignorant enough that you think you can fight on your own when it comes to fighting the enemy. Now notice that the English word stand or withstand is mentioned a few times in these passages. Number one, that means you're not always going to be delivered from certain situations. Now, let this be a reality check to you. Just because you may be saved and a member of a church somewhere does not mean that you're not vulnerable to the attacks of our enemy. Just because you think you've got a close walk with the Lord does not mean that you're not going to be attacked by the devil or the influences of the devil. Let me tell you, there's a reason why Paul said, stand. He didn't say, now, if you do this, you'll be delivered from every situation. He didn't say that. He said to stand, which means you're going to have battles. You're going to have trials. You're going to have heartaches. You're going to have tribulations. You're going to have times in your life where it just seems like, why is in the world is this going on? In those moments, my dear brother and sister in Christ, stand. Stand with the armor of God. Now, however, the Lord is giving you the battle gear to fight and win if we follow Him and, most importantly, His Word. Notice that? He didn't say flee from the situation. Wow. Now that's something that is hard to digest. He didn't say flee those certain situations. He said stand. Stand. And let me tell you how to stand. I'm going to tell you about this thing called the armor of God that you're going to need to stand in that situation. What happens if an army retreats every single time? You lose. Or you get killed, right? The armor enables believers to stand. The idea to stand as a soldier is to stand strong in the face of the enemy. He stands in line abreast his comrades, boldly facing the enemy and ready to advance at the command of his Lord. Few of you have been in the military, probably went through this in basic training. But when you are told to fight, what happens if you flee at the face of the enemy? Well, number one, you have let down your comrades, you've broken the line, but also you've given more advance to the enemy by fleeing. But if you stand strong there beside your comrades, facing the enemy that's coming towards you, you've got a much better chance than running away from it. Now, I'm sure all of you have seen pictures or movies where ancient soldiers like the Romans were battling. They'd stand shoulder to shoulder. Enemies were coming toward them. They didn't budge. In fact, sometimes they'd advance toward them, side by side. Brethren, we as a church, we're in a battle today. And we'll always be in a battle until Christ comes back. And we don't need half-hearted soldiers in the army of the Lord. We need each and every one of you that's a member of this church to stand strong in the Lord and put on the whole armor of God. Verse 12, Paul explained the type of battle we have. He said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The Greek word for wrestle, or some people say wrestle, describes a close physical struggle, a battle in which a person is personally involved and afflicted. The believer who stands aside from the battle gives precious ground and the devil gains a victory. What does all that mean? Well, think about wrestling. It's hand-to-hand combat, pretty much. You are face-to-face with your enemy. You're in that physical struggle. You're in close proximity. The battle has gotten personal. Personal. But Paul said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our battle here is not a battle of hand-to-hand combat, but we have one just like it spiritually with our enemy, the devil, and with his forces and with his influences. That's who we battle. That's what we battle. That's why we battle. And it's not at a distance. It's in close proximity. Our battle is with His servants, the rulers who implement evil laws, the authorities who wish to bring about the destruction of God's people, those rulers who conspire together to bring about evil, and those who promote false doctrine, and of course, all the demonic forces that are at work. That's what our battle is. Some would say, well, it sounds like a physical battle would be much easier. And you're correct. You're correct. You know, we are at war on terrorism. And yes, we fight people, but you know what we're really fighting? We're fighting an idea. We're fighting a religious belief. And of course, I've told you my philosophy. The best way to win that war is go convert them. Make them believers in Jesus Christ. Yes, but that's even more dangerous than bombing them from a distance. But I digress. Verse 13, Paul yet again urges believers to take unto you the whole armor of God. Now notice that. Not parts of the armor of God will equip us to stand, but the whole armor of God. The armor of God lies before the believer and is available, but he must receive it and put it on. It is much like a suit of clothes lying on a bed, ready for a person to take and put on, but the person must make the decision to do so. Then it requires the effort of taking them and wearing them. Any of you husbands ever have your wives pick out your clothes for you? It's okay. It's all right. Many times. But I'm able to dress myself, and sometimes I'll pick out something. I say, how's this look? She'll say. I said, okay. Or sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'm going to wear it anyway. I don't care, you know. All right, I've made a decision. Some say it's a foolish decision. Well, it's mine to make, I guess. But all that being said, sometimes people lay out their clothes, put them on the bed, whether it's theirs or somebody else's for them to wear. And the choice therein lies, are you going to wear what's laid out for you or not? Well, the armor of God is before us this morning. It's your decision to put it on, and if you make the decision, you have to put forth the effort to put it on. Now, some of you guys, you don't like wearing what I wear. You don't. You hate the thought of the collar being buttoned and the effort of tying that tie and pulling up to the neck. You say, I can't stand it. It don't bother me a bit. And I'm glad it doesn't, because I'm in the wrong business for that if that's the case. I think it was last week. I pick up Nathan a lot from school, and I had been busy at the seminary that day and was picked up Nathan come here to the church and was working and all that stuff. And I'm in my preacher clothes. All right. Michael comes in to get Nathan. He says, you still have on your tie. I said, yeah. He said, but you still have on your tie. I said, I hadn't had time to even think about taking off my tie, and it doesn't really bother me. He said, I'd have done ripped that thing off. So, I mean, I know how some of you people feel about wearing certain clothes. Let me tell you, this is something that you need to wear. You need to wear this, the whole armor of God, not just part of it. You know, if you put on pieces of it because of comfort, it ain't going to do you a bit of good. You need the whole armor of God. My next point this morning is what we stand with the armor of God. What we stand with the armor of God, verses 14 through 17. Verse 14, Paul begins describing the armor of God, beginning with the torso. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The loins refers to the thigh and hip section of the body. The word girt means to tighten one's garment to give support to the loin area. The actions of girding was what one needed to do to himself to prepare for activity. In Bible times, the garment worn around the loin area was brought up, tightened to prepare for labor, service, or other activities. Now, some people attribute it to a belt, but it really wasn't a belt. Okay? I would describe another details, but I'm not going to do that this morning. It's just a garment, again, brought up between the legs and then tightened around the waist, so they'd be able to work more easily and run and fight and other strenuous activities. Then the truth here, your loins girt about with truth. The truth here refers to many things. Living by the Word of God. Living in the light of the gospel. Living after Jesus' example. All these point to honest living. It protects our integrity. She's saying, don't lie. Well, that's part of it. Don't lie. Tell the truth. But you've got to live in the truth. Well, what's the truth? The truth is found in the gospel, in the Word of God, and following what He says to do. Living after Jesus' example. All of that is living in the truth. And then he said, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate, this item would cover primarily the front of the torso. It protects the vital organs of the body, especially the heart. The location of this breastplate is significant. It is in the front of the body, directly facing toward the enemy. Much like light repels darkness, righteousness resists the darkness of the kingdom of Satan. Righteousness, which is the godliness of Christ imputed to the believer and lived in the life of the believer, the righteousness repels the devil back as he is faced with the righteousness at the front of the believer. The devil wishes to get to the heart of the believer, but as he approaches, the righteousness of Christ shines brightly and directly in his face. Satan desires to criticize the life of the believer, but as the believer shows forth the righteousness of Jesus Christ, it repels the desires of Satan. What does that mean? I'll put it in a nutshell for you. Righteous living, that's holy living before God. That means you not only know God's word, but you live by it, and you believe it no matter what. When someone says, hey, let's do this, you said, nope, God's word says not to do that. That's having that breastplate of righteousness. But if you take off that breastplate of righteousness and someone says, hey, let's go do this, and you say, I know God's word says not to, but I'm going to do it anyway. You have then allowed attack on your heart, on your walk with the Lord. Listen, if anything, not to diminish any part of the armor of God, but that's probably one of the most important pieces that you wear. That's what people see. You know what? Back in the night days, in the Roman days, it was common to see people with swords on their waistband. It was common to see men wearing the loins girded with that fabric. But if someone saw you with a breastplate on, they knew that you were a soldier. Let me tell you, how do people know that we're children of God? By letting Jesus shine in our lives. By righteous living, if we don't live for the Lord, people will not know. And we have become useless in God's kingdom, His work, by not living our lives right before the Lord. Verse 15, then Paul describes the feet. The feet, are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The word shod here is a past tense of the word shoe. How about that? So if I get up this morning and I say, I'm going to shoe my feet, I got up yesterday morning and I shod my feet. All right? You say, we don't talk anymore. No, we don't. But just to give you an understanding of the word there. Feet represent walking and moving forward. The shoeing or putting on shoe wear prepares a traveler or soldier for traveling into harsh road conditions or battle. Without proper footwear, an army is seriously hindered. And the feet of the soldiers are vulnerable to hurt and harm. If the soldier becomes lame in his feet, he may be completely out of condition to withstand the wiles of the devil. Now, I know that in the Vietnam era of warfare, soldiers were told to every few miles, stop, change your socks. Why? You're in a hot, humid, moisture-driven environment. Moisture, socks, and shoes create blisters on your feet. You get a blister on your foot, woo, that hurts. Then it affects you. You get a little lame in your walking. Well, that you're not going to be able to stand against the enemy. You're not going to be able to run toward the enemy. Listen, we as children of the Lord need to make sure that our feet, have the gospel of peace on them. As the soldier walks through this dark world and faces the battle, he must walk As Philippians 4:7 declares unto us, with the peace of God that passes all understanding. This peace is the gospel of peace. If he had prepared his walk with the assurance of his relationship with Christ by the gospel, he can have peace in the battle. It is a peace that assures the soldier that his God is with him, giving him courage toward the enemy, vigor in the battle, and hope of the victory. This peace frees him from concern and allows him to give his all in the battle. I'm reminded over in the book of Romans, chapter 10, where it talks about how beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the gospel. All right? Glad tidings. How beautiful are the feet. So what is this device that's on the feet to protect them? It's the gospel. That's what it is. It's the gospel. Listen, you can debate all things you want, but there's one thing I know is truth, and that is the gospel of Christ. You do not waver or err on it. You can stand firmly on it. And brethren, you must. There's lots of people that say in this world, well, there's many ways to God. No, there's not. There is only one way to the Lord, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's not up for debate at all. I said, well, I don't believe that. Well, take it up with God, not me. God has said so in His Word. Verse 16, Paul moves on to the other items that protects the whole body. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith. The word above explains to us that this piece of armor protects us the most in battle. The shield of faith is to be carried in front of the person and in front of the other armor. It is the first line of defense as it first contacts the fiery darts of the wicked. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says this to us. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now we're doing the study on Sunday night, of course. But in other words, live after the examples of faith. Simple faith, as defined by our forefathers, is knowing what God has said is truth and knowing He will keep His promises. That shield of faith, when you're in battle, that shield protects you from the enemy, doesn't it? Protects you from sword and from spear and from arrows that would pierce through you. It says faith. What's faith? Faith is knowing that God is real and never seen or heard Him in your life. Okay? And what He says is the truth. A lot of people have to see it and believe it, taste it, smell it, all the senses, before they even would say, okay, that's real. No, we don't have that, but we know by faith that God is real. And what He says is the truth above all things. So when God tells you to go ye therefore and teach all nations, by faith we go out. And to the lost, dark world, head on with the enemy to win that lost soul. That's faith. And then he said, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Fiery darts were a common weapon of choice during these times by an attacking army. They were arrows set on fire and shot toward lines of soldiers. Through faith, we can put out those arrows of Satan and protect us from his attack. I'm sure many of you have probably seen this in movies or historical references in which armies would get in the battlefield. One army would light their arrows on fire and do this number, raise back and shoot the arrows in the air, and all these arrows of fire would come down on the other enemy. Of course, if they had shields, they were protected from those things, right? But God says, not only will you be protected from them, but you can quench the fire before they ever even try to attack you. Woo! Can you just imagine an army back in the day? They shot those arrows of fire, and they just disappeared before they ever got to the enemy. probably go, what's going on here? You know what? By faith in the Lord, you stand firm there on God's word, and you know that it's true. Those attacks will just either bounce off or not even come toward near you because of your faith in the Lord. Verse 17, finally Paul addressed the last two pieces of armor. The helmet of salvation obviously covers the head, which is associated with the mind. Salvation is when we repent of our sins and unbelief and believe in Jesus Christ, and He saves us from eternity in hell. Once we are saved, we are always saved and can never be bound for hell again. Praise the Lord. As Sister Minnie sang this morning, I've come to tell you He's alive. This blood that was shed for you and me can save you from every sin and make you whole. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's salvation right there, my friends. The helmet of salvation covers the mind. The helmet of salvation is the assurance and protection that the soldier belongs to the Lord and Commander, and his Lord will never forsake nor leave him. What kind of a battle would it be if the soldiers were out in the front lines and their commander-in-chief flees the battle, runs away from them? Horrible. But our God doesn't do that. And what I love about all this is the last thing, the sword of the Spirit is obviously the Word of God. A sword hanging on a wall, lying on a shelf, or sitting in a pew all week, rather than being placed in the service, is of no value. It is a tool and intended to be used for a purpose. What is that purpose? The sword, unlike most of the armor, is as much for offense as it is for defense. Defense, the sword, may be used with the shield to resist the darts of the devil. Offensively, however, the sword may accomplish a great deal of purposes for the glory of God. Bibles, that's what it is, it's the Word of God. Bibles that never or barely get used are of no use to the soldier of the cross and thereby make that soldier useless in the fight, and certain destruction will follow. Hebrews 4 and 12 teaches us, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Your best weapon, of course, is the Word of God. But if you don't have the rest of that armor on, the Word of God does you no good. You leave your Bible sitting on a pew all week long, or on your table all week long, in your car all week long, you barely pick it up, or you never pick it up, guess what? You don't know the weight and balance of your weapon. You have not known how to use that weapon in the warfare of our enemy. Well, Brother Daniel, I've never really been a good Bible student. Well, there's no time like the present to start. Go ahead and get into the Word. Know that God created the world in 6 literal days. Know that Jesus was prophesied throughout all the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament. Know that we have several examples of faith to live by. And most importantly, that God's coming back one day to get us. Lastly, my last point this morning, how we stand with the armor of God. I'm almost done. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In addition to the armor, Paul admonished these believers to always pray. The Greek word means to pray at all seasons, which means always. No matter what the circumstances are, we need to pray. The wording in this verse indicates that our prayer should not only be heartfelt, which takes away from the repeat after me prayers, but they are to be serious as we petition before the Lord. The child of God is nothing without a daily and serious prayer life. If we ever have hope of winning in life, we must put on the whole armor of God and pray. You know, last week I left you with admonishing you to pray for certain church members of the things they were going to face and go through. And you know what? I have seen many of you praying this week and have felt your prayers, and the people that have been recipients of those prayers have felt them too, and praise the Lord for that. But don't just stop after last week. You've got to continually go on and on and pray, not only for yourselves, but for your fellow soldiers of the cross. I don't know about anybody else's military experience. I have none. But I know that there's camaraderie. There's camaraderie there in our military with their fellow soldiers and so on and so forth. And when one falls in battle, if they're able to, they pick him up and they help them to not only finish the battle, but to win the victory. Y'all, we've got a horrible enemy. His name is Satan. He's a fallen angel of God who was named Lucifer. He's a powerful being. He hates God. He hates you. He hates every part of creation. He hates family. He hates church. He hates all of humankind. And his greatest desire, if you're lost this morning, is for you to remain lost and go to hell. But I got great news for you. On that issue of hell, you've had someone fight the battle for you already and win the victory. His name is Jesus Christ. Oh, when he died on that cross, that wasn't the end. That was the beginning. He arose in that grave the third day. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. My friend, if you're lost, Jesus has fought and won that battle for you. All you have to do is believe in Him and you can escape the fires of hell. But in the meantime, Satan's domain is here on this earth. The Bible says, Peter tells us, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. I've learned through the years that when a child of God or even a church grows and they try to get closer to the Lord, that's when they're most vulnerable for attacks of Satan. Because Satan doesn't want you to grow. He doesn't want any of us to get close to the Lord. So if you've been saved recently or you've been trying to get close to the Lord recently and you realize that things are getting more difficult in your life, guess what? That's just pressure. Just pressure from the enemy. But you put on the whole armor of God, you'll be able to stand against your enemy. Our enemy, the devil. But if you just half-hearted service, don't pray that often, not only will you be attacked, but everybody else in your line is going to be attacked with you. May we all stand side by side with the whole armor of God and pray every day, not only for ourselves, but each other. This morning, I hope that you found encouragement from this, because you now know how to fight the enemy. But the thing is, are you going to do what God has said? You're going to have to fight the enemy, whether you like it or not. Many of us have already fought and will fight until we die, each and every day. That's why it's a daily thing of putting on that whole armor of God and daily praying and walking with Him. My friend, how is your walk with the Lord this morning? How is your relationship with the Lord? Do you do the things that Paul has admonished us to do in fighting the enemy? If not,
Stop what you're doing. Stop what you're doing. And put on the whole armor of God today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move upon the hearts of those here, saved or lost, they might make the decision that they need to do for you. I uplift those today who are hurting, who are struggling, Lord, in their walk with you. They're allowing the pressures of this life and really the pressures of the enemy to get to them. But Lord, give them the peace that passeth all understanding. May their faith be strengthened in you. May they stand firm in your word and in your truth and your righteousness. Give them the assurance of their salvation if they're saved. Let them have the faith they're supposed to have. Above all, give them the thirst and zeal to learn more from your word. And they would always look to you and talk to you and pray for each other and themselves. Lord, if they're lost this morning, they have no hope. The only hope they have is in hell. But I pray, Lord, that you would convict their hearts so much that they would realize their lost condition, understand the need of salvation, and they would choose to accept you as a personal Savior this morning. Bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand? What shall we sing, Brother Mike? Amen.